Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4833. And the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our weekly radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the honor, the privilege, and opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to continue, and I believe that we will finish our teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, I will be reading the first two scriptures from the Amplified Study Bible. All other verses or scriptures that I read will be from the ever-increasing Study Bible, the New King James Version. So if you found Proverbs 22, verse number 6, and it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, please go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or embarrassing or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Amen. Now, we are given instructions in these two verses, commandments from God to train our children with the love, the tenderness, and the discipline in the way that he should go. Not the way that he wants to go, but the way that he should go. And the scripture tells us when our children are old or mature in the things of God, they will not depart from it. Because we know that it is true because God's word tells us it is true. Amen. Now, last week, we had read chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, which are the book of blessings and cursings. And we read the blessings and we just finished up the cursings. Now, I like to tell people the way I look at the Bible, it is like an open book exam. If you look at the Bible closely, if you study the Bible closely, you have every type of exam that you can imagine. You have multiple choice. You have fill-ins. You have true and false. You have essay. You have the short answer. You just have to search the scriptures. Search them to find the answer that best fits your needs. Searching the scriptures for understanding. And when we do, we will understand the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. Now, please turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Again, Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Here we go. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away from so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I will announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Amen. So you see here, all we have to be is be obedient to God's word, not disobedience, because the consequences is death. You know, several years ago, there was a television program called Truth or Consequences. And its contestants had to answer a trivial question correctly, usually an off-the-wall question that no one would be able to answer correctly before Beulah, the buzzer, would sound off. Now, failing to complete the truth portion meant that the contestant had to face the consequences. Typically, by performing a zany or crazy embarrassing stunt. Contestants involved in these stunts and the audience reaction led by MC Ralph Edwards to state about himself and his producers, "Aren't we devils?" Because of these zany consequences. But here we are. We have real life consequences that affect your life in different ways and because of the choices you make. Well, unfortunately, this is not a quiz or game show. This is real life we're dealing with. Your disobedience could result in trials, tests, tribulations, and even death. So that's why you have to be sure the decisions that you make line up with the Word of God. Now, please go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Again, that's Romans, chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says this. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned, Adam, because of his one act of disobedience, his choice, he made the free will privilege God gave man in the beginning to make a decision. That fatal mistake, that choice. And why did he make that choice? Because mankind at that particular time in history was spiritually and morally innocent. He didn't have any examples before him in regards to sin. But he had an exam, the first test in human history. So let's look at what that exam was. Please go to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Again, Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the garden of good and evil you should not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So we see here, God gave man an exam. It was a multiple choice. He had a choice to eat from all the other trees that were in the garden, or he had a choice to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered the world through Adam. Sin brought death. The result is death. It is now a universal experience that we all have to face one day. That is the consequence for the believer. First, it brings spiritual death, and then finally, physical death. Now, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 19. And it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, amen, many will be made righteous." Jesus' work is greater, for it brings God's grace to those stuck in the sinfulness which originated in Adam. That's why obedience to his word is so important. Amen. Through Adam came condemnation, but through Christ Jesus came justification of life, a justification that produces life. So death is a result of disobedience. We have to understand that death came because of disobedience. And we as Christians, as believers, we have to learn to be obedient to God's word. We can't just make a decision haphazardly. We have to make sure that our decisions line up with the word of God. Because if they don't, then there's a chance that you can end up in the pit of hell. Amen. Now, my final scripture for this teaching on disobedience. Please go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 2 through 12. And it says this: grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you would neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know you are established in the present truth. Amen. So, we have to understand that disobedience is not the way. We must be obedient to the word of God. This way, we will walk our lives and we will never stumble. Amen and amen. Well, that concludes my teaching on this particular teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Amen. Well, we're going to start a new teaching, and I believe this teaching that you will enjoy also. And so if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of, open them up to the book of Mark chapter 11. Now, we have taught on several topics concerning our Heavenly Father. We have learned that he is a God of principle, and he always does everything decently and in order. Everything is decent and in order. And he is a principle-driven God. We, as his children, are under the dispensation of grace, God's unmerited favor. But we command to live our lives by faith. We are commanded to live our lives by faith. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, or that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So even though we are under grace, God's unmerited favor, but we are commanded to live our lives by faith. Let's don't get the word of God twisted. Just because we are under grace and not under the law gives us the right to do anything we desire, because grace will not cover it. No, it will not. Now go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to read verse number 6. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. God says, for he is the Lord, he does not change. Now, our title for this teaching will be The Power of Forgiveness. Once again, the power of forgiveness. We must understand there is power in forgiveness, and we must understand, what is this forgiveness? What is it about? Why do I have to forgive somebody who's done something wrong to me that has hurt me in the past? Well, let's see what the Word of God has. So if you found Mark 11, follow me. We're going to read from beginning with verse 22 to 26. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Verse 25. "And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, please go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 12 to 15. And it says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven or left remitting and let go the debts and given up resentment against our debtors. And lead or bring us into temptation, and bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive people their trespasses, that is, their reckless and willful sins, letting them go and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This new teaching on the power of forgiveness is something that we need to understand. All the promises under the new covenant are activated and operated by faith. And forgiveness is no different. Forgiveness is no different. If we expect to receive the blessings from God, then we are going to have to learn to forgive. Just as some people are hard to love, and the only way you can love them is by faith, then conversely, some people are hard to forgive, and we're going to have to forgive them, even though what they've done to us has hurt us. But we're going to have to learn to forgive them, and we're going to have to learn to forgive them by faith also. Now, what does the word forgiveness mean? Well, for this particular teaching, forgiveness means it is an act of pardon. It's an act of pardon. It's like you just pardoned somebody for the wrong that they've done to you. To give, to spare, to take away. That's what forgiveness means. It means to pardon someone that's done something wrong to you. Now, the opposite of that, unforgiveness means not willing or not able to forgive. Unforgiveness is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. When you are not willing or not able to forgive, then that is a sin. You're being operated by the direction of Satan. Amen. There is power in forgiveness. But you are going to have to learn how to tap into that promise for to have the power or the authority that God wants you to have in your life. If you can't do that, then our Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Faith is will not work in an unforgiving heart, in the midst of disharmony. Faith will just not work. It won't work. Do not be confused. Believers must be in harmony with each other. You can't have harmony if there is no forgiveness in your heart. Harmony in this context does not mean, in musical terms, having agreement or agreeable sounds, but it denotes a combination of parts into a pleasing or orderly hold. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's message. But join us next week when we will continue our teaching on the power of forgiveness. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.